Good morning. You can all hear me. You're going to regret that. All right. This is my first time being up here to talk like this, to preach. So I do apologize. I will ramble. I will get off topic. I will say more times than what you care for. I am much more of a one-on-one, small group kind of speaker. So this is going to be very interesting for me and more so probably for you. Look, Mom made it. Sorry, had to point that out. if there's one thing my mother is, it is punctually late to everything. Guaranteed. A couple things. I don't stand still well when I'm talking. I like to use my hands a lot, a trait that I earned from my father, who never learned how to stop talking or using his hands when he did it either. So I will be moving about a lot. I will be doing my best to stay on topic, to not ramble on. My wife has already been warned to make sure to give me the signal. Yep. The signal when it is time to go. So this morning, we are going to be talking about Hulk Out Jesus. This is one of my favorite parts of the Bible now. Something that scared me when I was younger to talk about Jesus getting angry. It was something I remember growing up, nobody wanted to talk about. Everybody wanted to talk about meek and mild Jesus, the one who didn't want to make waves, turn the other cheek. So when Dave asked me a week and a half ago to preach, I was incredibly nervous at the idea, but very excited at the same time when I found out what I would be speaking. Because nowadays, I think more than ever is a time for us to raise our voice and to be heard as Christians and to reach out to everybody who is part of the sick and the young and those who need Christ, those who the purpose of the church is for. So with that in mind, if you could open up your Bibles, we will get started. We are going to be reading from Matthew 21, 12 through 17. I had no idea so many people actually use real Bibles still. That is interesting looking out here. I miss those days, mostly because I was taught that it was okay to doodle in the margins by some people, others not. Personally, I enjoyed making notes as I went along in the Bible and stuff, the little lessons I learned from different people talking over the years. So there are bits and pieces about a paper Bible that I truly miss. All right, Matthew 21:12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. For those not aware where we're at right now, Jesus just walked in. He just realized that the church has been turned into everything it was never meant to be. He decides not to go in quietly, but to go in with a loud voice and proclaim what it is the church is meant for at this point. Again, this is not our passive-aggressive Jesus that we are taught about. This is not the meek and mild Jesus. He walked in, he saw what was going on, and he decided that he was angry and he was going to make a point, and he does. And he makes it very boldly and very loudly. He chases out all the people that are in there that are turning the church into everything it wasn't supposed to be. The people who were there to steal from the poor. The people who their only purpose there is to make money and to abuse the church. I found it interesting going back and looking into all this because where it talks about those that are selling the doves, and I didn't understand the purpose of that at the time. They used lambs for sacrifice, but if you were poor, you couldn't afford the lamb for the sacrifice. So they would sell doves, but they sold specific doves that you had to buy from them that were blessed and ordained, that were clean doves. And so the poor had no other option as far as they were being told but to buy from these people in the church to have the doves for sacrifice. Which which made it very difficult for those who couldn't afford to make it to the church, to be able to come to the church if they couldn't afford to be able to get all the sacrifices, to be able to seek out God at that time. And that's what they were told. One of the questions on here is, do we make it hard for people to come where God is? At JRCC, I like to think not. In general, as Christians, sadly, I do. How often do we set a standard so high for others, for ourselves at times, where we feel unworthy? Because we feel like we need to reach a certain point where we're good enough. And the problem is that we're never good enough. And that's okay. But the point is that the idea of coming to church is about having a relationship, not about the traditions of the church, not about following the structure and the proper protocol, not about how we dress, whether or not we're sinners, because we are. We put people on this pedestal where we say you have to hit this certain point to be good enough to be here with us, to be here at the church. You have to be so good for God to love you. And God's love is eternal. God's love is always there. Verse 13, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. I think what's great about nowadays is the church expands beyond this building. To the mindset that we have about church. When it comes to being a church of prayer, you've got technology nowadays. You've got Facebook, where we've got prayer chains and stuff, which are amazing. We have the ability to reach out to people instantly seeking prayer, seeking help, telling everybody, you know, what's going on in our lives, what we need help with, who we need prayer for. And I think it's absolutely amazing because week after week, I see somebody posting on the prayer chain needing help, and then I see them coming back commenting about the positive results that have come out of this and stuff. Sometimes I worry whether or not we forgot that we prayed about this when we get the positive results about it, whether or not we realized that it was an answered prayer and not just simply the way life worked out at that moment. There was an interesting note here on Dave's notes where he said, I need to do a better job of leading us there to being a house of prayer. And I sat back and I kept thinking about that for a long time after I read that. And that's the way Dave feels. And, you know, I understand that. And I respect that. But, you know, that's between him and God. But I kept looking at that and I kept questioning whether or not I'm doing a good enough job of following when he leads, whether or not I do a good enough job of going along with the guidelines that I'm given through the Bible from God. And if I'm just blindly walking along, just trying to say that I'm here and I'm doing well enough, and that's all that should matter. 14 says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. This wasn't something at the temple that they were big about. They wanted you to come to the temple to see them and for you to connect to God through them. They were still at the point where they weren't trying to give you a direct line to God. They were trying to keep that cut off. They wanted to be the intercessor between the two of them. They didn't want to have you being able to just seek God out directly at this point. And Jesus goes out of his way to cut the connection right there, to heal the lame, the sick, call the children into the church, something that was not acceptable at that point in time. Something that sadly is not acceptable right now when it comes to a lot of churches. They want the children to be quiet, to be silent. One of the things I love about JRCC is that our kids are not quiet and are not silent. I can't tell you how often I sit back there listening to Dave preach, and in the midst of it, I can hear the laughing, the giggling, the toys being thrown around at times against the window back there. And I absolutely love it because we need to be in an environment where the children want to be here. They want to learn. They want to grow with God. Because if we don't make this a church for them, then we've already lost. Told you I'd say that a lot. 15, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Churchy people were ticked off. I love the term churchy people. I do now, anyways. At one time I realized I was a churchy people, and that was terrifying to me, to realize that I was one of those people that said, well, I'm here at church, I'm okay, and what God's trying to do is tell the rest of you what's wrong with you. Nothing upsets churchy people more than people not having to go through them to meet Jesus. I get tired of seeing this world tell people that you have to be at church every Sunday to be able to reach God, to be able to see God, to be able to feel God. Now, there's a reason we all come here to church. There's a reason we come here to come together and worship, and that's because that's what we were told to do. I don't know about you, but it's because it's what I love to do. There is no better recharge for me than Sundays when I am here. Usually by the time the week's gone through, Saturday, I'm drained, I'm exhausted, mentally, physically, spiritually. Sunday is my recharge time. Sunday is my day that my battery gets a refill and I am ready to go back out and take on the world. But week after week, it never fails. Saturday rolls around. I am tired and I am exhausted and I need a recharge. And that's what I love about this church. Between the music worship that is just phenomenal here and everything you guys do to just lift the roof off this place, just gets me going. Between the lessons Dave teaches and the things I learn, every week I leave here usually thinking one of two things. Either I've got that part figured out or I need to work on that part. Unfortunately, more times than none, it's usually I need to work on that part, which I hate, but that's okay because I accept the fact that I've got those parts to work on and I'm going to focus on those week after week, trying to become a better Christian, trying to become someone who can go out into the world and speak to people about Christ. And to do so, I have to accept my shortcomings and to be able to say where I need to become better so I can reach people more. Verse 16, do you hear what these children are saying? He asked them. They were calling him out and they were saying he was the Messiah. If one thing I've learned with being here at Jennings Road and the time I've spent with the kids is that the kids get the Bible so much easier than we do as adults. I think we did as kids, and then we started complicating everything. We wanted to put too many rules into place. We wanted to think too hard about everything. The kids are amazing because they keep it simple. Now, partially because there's one thing I learned running children's church, the attention span is very small. You got about 10 minutes, maybe, if you're lucky, to get through a lesson before their minds start wandering, before they start looking around the room, looking at the crayons, the paper, the games, and everything else, and thinking about that what they want to be doing. Because at the end of the day, they came to see their friends and have fun, which is great, which is why I learned to keep the lesson plan simple. And then we would have our crafts and activities and games. But the kids understand it so much better than we do. They understand love God and love your neighbor without questioning the million different things that we want to put into that scenario. But what about? No, we love God, we love our neighbors. Simple and easy. At least to understand, maybe not to put into practice, but it's simple to understand. Sometimes loving God when life is not working out exactly the way you want can be very difficult. I spent years dealing with what I did, getting angry. I remember coming in here and standing up here and yelling and screaming at it. Really glad nobody walked in on me at that moment. I was going off. I was angry. I was mad. But I wasn't listening either. I was speaking, but I wasn't listening. And when I slowed down and when I started listening, started taking him for who he is and his love, my life changed. Verse Jesus replied, "Yes. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" Jesus reminds them that the church is about scripture fulfillment. What Jesus is referring to at this point when he says from lips of the children and infants, it's actually a reference back to Psalms 82, where he is talking about the fulfillment of the prophecy, the one of the millions and millions of parts of the prophecy that was fulfilled through him, where he talks about this reference that goes all the way back then. "Do you not give an offering in such a way that you want the church filled with sick and children?" Isn't that the point of why we give our money to God? Because of what we use our money towards, because of where it goes. Paying for the church, reaching the people here in the community, being able to have things like the live nativity scene. One of the things that is responsible for us being here at Jennings Road Church of Christ, for my family being here, well, aside from Ron and Nancy, who my parents met years ago while they were staying at Huggy Bear Campground, and they went to a garage sale, and Ron and Nancy started bugging them about where they go to church and where they're from and stuff, and was telling them all about JRCC, and got them so excited my parents even went out of their way to tell us about it. And it was funny because we're like, "Oh, it's the Camel Church," because that's what we knew JRCC for, was Live Nativity, it was the camels and stuff. And we kept talking about coming to church, coming to church, coming to church, and we kept delaying it. And then my wife finally was like, "We're going to church." And I, being good husband, didn't argue. And, well, boyfriend at the time, but I've been good the whole time. Just don't ask her. And she said, "We're going to church." And I said, "Excellent." I said, "Where are we going?" She said, "We're going to Jennings Road. We're going to the Live Nativity Church. We're going to the Camel Church." Okay. So we came here, and I'll never forget, because it was the first day. Thank you for that. She's letting me know I'm rambling. And I'm almost done. And it was the first day that Dave had come back from surgery. And we were watching this guy talk up on the pulpit and a jersey and jeans, and we kept wondering when the pastor was going to come up. I remember joking back and forth, "Where's the pastor at? When's he going to get up there? Who's this guy that's up on stage?" And then he starts preaching, and we realize this is the pastor, and I'm like, this is a cool place. So relaxed. And then Dave gets into the sermon, and he starts talking about divorce. Mind you, me and Sarah are both divorced at this time, dating. And we're like, well, we walked into the wrong place. And Dave continues on with the sermon, and he starts talking about love and compassion and accepting everybody. And he starts talking about how divorce is not the first place to go, it's not the second place to go, but there's biblical reason behind divorce and everything else. And by the time he was done, me and Sarah both realized that not only had Dave preached directly to us, but he had got it himself, as far as we were concerned, told us we found the right place to be. So thanks to that particular sermon, you guys have been stuck with us since then. So we have got to remember the purpose of offering. If you're not sure why we do offering, there is a board back on the wall back there that explains it to you quite well. We reach well beyond just our community. We work with our community, big part with PLC, a group that I love, people who do amazing things to reach out to parents who are in hard spots. But we reach out to so much, and there's a reason we have our offering. So just remember the idea of why we do what we do. When you come in here on Sundays, when you leave on Sundays, that it is about giving back to God, and it is about God taking just reaching out across not just the community, but God reaches out across the world with what just this little church does. So thank you all. We're going to bow in prayer, and if those doing communion could head back to grab that, that would be wonderful. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for all these people that came out to learn to listen. Thank you for taking away the nerves that I had and just making this an experience for me that I will hold on to for a very long time. As we leave here, Father, I just ask that you take everything that we give back to you and spread it around the world to show your love, to teach those about you, and help them understand you better. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Talks about coming to the altar. And when I think of the word altar, I think of Abraham taking his son Isaac to the altar to sacrifice his son, and what faith that took in our God. And I think of David after he lost his firstborn son, and his first thought was to go and worship God, and he met him at the altar. And when I think of altar, I think of my first Mother's Day without a child in my arms. And I couldn't make it through the service. But in my living room on the floor, I met my God at the altar. And I laid motherhood as a sacrifice to my God. Whether I became a mother or not, my dreams were handed to my God. And in that moment, I realized that I wasn't just giving something up. I was giving it to my God, my Creator, my Redeemer, the one who loves me for everything I am. He calls me beloved. And I broke in his arms, and he consumed me. Today, many of us are breaking, and we need to come to the altar. And we need to run into the arms of our Savior, because he's calling for you. So I pray that whatever is broken, you just hand it to him and lay it at the altar and run into his arms.
Hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can stand. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait, 'cause Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Savior.